Well, Lee, I don't remember the Middle East being on fire like this under Donald Trump.
No, that's because it wasn't.
No, not even close. In fact, we had historic peace deals,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generational differences in peace deals where, you know, nations that had not even been talking with each other were agreeing to cooperate, like Saudi Arabia and Israel and Egypt.
Yeah. So looking like Iran may hit Israel back. No word yet. I did try to look last night to see if Biden had greenlit this one. You know, you just greenlight both sides of the war and fight both sides. Fighting on Israel's behalf, but also, you know, green telling Iran, yeah, go ahead and hit him so that you can, you know, get in on both sides of the war. I couldn't find, they did that last time. They never retracted it. I couldn't find if they were doing that this time. So I guess we'll see. Meanwhile, I got to just tell you, wow, stuff coming out about the attempted Trump assassination every day is more shocking than last.
Yeah, none of this looks good. None of it.
No. Okay, so first, the first Secret Service director perjured herself before Congress. Yep. She resigned. Yep. So second Secret Service director, Ronald Rowe, who actually was responsible for the day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. he showed up. Before Congress, and it appears he lied too. Now, lying to Congress isn't just like a bad, immoral thing to do. It's a felony. It's called perjury. And Jesse Waters was one of the few to actually call him out for it. Here's the first of two critical lies that the new acting Secret Service director told Congress about the Trump assassination attempt that actually was fatal. For one man, and two others were seriously injured.
The acting director of the Secret Service told Congress under oath that his agency didn't cut resources from Trump's detail.
If you're talking about Butler, Pennsylvania, all assets requested were approved.
That's a lie, period. And lying to Congress is a felony. A Secret Service whistleblower is telling Senator Hawley that that guy personally directed that Secret Service agents who do threat assessments at events be cut. The whistleblower says those agents should have been at Trump's Butler rally doing threat assessments, and they were cut by that Secret Service director, Ronald Rowe. If those agents were at the Butler rally, Crooks would have been in cuffs the second he was spotted with the rangefinder. Not only did Secret Service cut these special agents for Trump's Butler rally, the Secret Service hasn't even called the locals who were providing backup that day.
Wait, what? Okay, so here's what's happening, okay? The FBI, the Secret Service, comes out and tells us one thing. It ends up being untrue when two senators are doing their own investigations, Josh Hawley and Charles Grassley, talk to whistleblowers. And this continues happening again and again and again. Okay, there is an advance group within the Secret Service. And Lee, we found out Friday, they go out there before the event. And then they stay through the event to keep Trump safe. The team that does that was called off for this rally. And the whistleblower who went to Senator Hawley explained if they had been there the first time he tried to come through the metal detector with the rangefinder, he would have been arrested. He'd have been in cuffs. But they didn't send the advance team. They also would have likely found the gun that was hidden. Odd that he called off the advance team. And then this is Ron Rowe goes before Congress, says, no, they had all the assets requested. No, they did not. He lied. But Lee, it's the second lie that he told Congress. You know, Secret Service is supposed to be investigating this incident. They're supposed to figure out how did this happen? How did Trump almost end up assassinated? Mm-hmm. But are they? Or are they avoiding talking to anyone so as to create a record of it and then lying to Congress about undergoing the investigation? Here's the second lie that Ron Rowe told the members of Congress. And here's what's actually going on.
If you're talking about the media reporting of assets requested, there were times when assets were unavailable and not able to be filled, and those gaps were staffed with state and local law enforcement tactical assets.
That's the second lie. They weren't. Listen to this. Jesse Waters' show went and got a hold of the head of the Butler County, the commander of the Butler County, the tactical unit, and asked them, did they ever call you? Secret Service, you ever have any contact with them? Did they tell you you were in charge? Did they tell you what you were in charge of? Listen to this.
The Secret Service hasn't even called the locals who were providing backup that day.
Secret Service has never talked to any of our people either before the rally that day or to this moment, has ever talked to us in regards to what our actions were that day. Secret Service has not talked to us at all about the incident.
You've not talked directly to the Secret Service, then Director Cheadle, Acting Director Ronald Rowe, they've not reached out to you, neither one of them.
None of them.
They're doing an investigation into an attempted assassination, and the Secret Service hasn't even called the locals. Not even out of curiosity. Like, what the hell happened, guys? That's evidence of a cover-up.
Now, listen to this closely again. Didn't call them after, because there's no real investigation, which is astonishing in its own right, but didn't call them before. You know how to tell them, hey, you know, you're responsible for that great vantage point for assassination that we deliberately drew outside the perimeter. Yeah, you're responsible for that. Never talk to you? No, never, says the Butler County commander.
Secret Service has never talked to any of our people either before the rally that day or to this moment.
Here's the lie from the director.
If you're talking about the media reporting of assets requested, there were times when assets were unavailable and not able to be filled, and those gaps were staffed with state and local law enforcement tactical assets.
You know, there's a really good way to sort this out. Give us the names. Give us the names, finally, because it's a big, big secret. The names of the people who were running it that day. Get a subpoena, send it their way. Let's straighten this out. But we're not allowed to know the names. It's a secret. I bet that's why. How do you answer that question, Lee?
Yeah, exactly. That's something that's got to be asked and then got to be answered. That's just the basics of an investigation.
So we've already caught him in two lies there. Me? No, I didn't cut anything. Yes, you did. You cut the advance team and almost got Trump killed. And no, well, I mean, we told the locals, man, they were in charge. No, you didn't. They say that you never talked to them, not before or not after. So what that means is you didn't talk to them. You had no team in place, and you don't want to record that as part of your investigation. So you're still avoiding the locals. This thing is weird. It gets weirder every day.
Even though they keep trying to blame local authorities for their lack of involvement.
Right. And what's weird to me is the locals keep coming forward in their own names, right?
Yeah, right.
Making statements on camera.
Yeah.
Making statements. And yet we're told.
In uniform. Yes.
We're not allowed to know who the Secret Service were that was there that day, how many of them there were, what their titles are. We're not allowed to know any of that. It's super, super, super secret. Which is really weird, okay? Super, super, super secret. Why? I mean, there's no criminal investigation. The guy's dead. As the former assistant director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, pointed out, why is all this secret? There's no criminal investigation. There's not been any predicate. In other words, he hasn't seen the Department of Justice, the Secret Service, the FBI. Nobody has come out and said, hey, we got to keep all this classified and secret because we have this investigation or something. They've never done that. So it should be out there. Why is this a massive state secret, who these people were? All we know about them, Lee, is that as of Friday, not a one of them has been fired.
No.
Not a one of them. What is terrifying about that? Where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still running Trump events?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
My next question would be this advance team that keeps Trump alive. Are they still pulled from these events or no? We're not doing any advance where we're just,
you know, at the very
gonna let him
least,
fly his drone wherever he wants or
at the very least, why are they don't at least say, okay, these people are on paid administrative leave until the pending investigation is completed. I mean, that would be, you know, a reasonable response. I get it if you want to say, oh, we're doing a complete and thorough investigation, which, you know, indications are you aren't. But at least say that. At least pretend like you usually do.
Look, you've been doing the news for a long time. So have I. Whenever there's just a police shooting here in Greenville, okay? Right. Sheriff, police department. It doesn't matter if the police officer was totally acting appropriately. He's always put on desk duty,
or she is,
until they resolve the situation. Then they go back. I mean, that's just standard practice.
That's it.
That's normal law enforcement, but not these guys.
No. You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, any type of you know, officer or deputy involved shooting around here, that's pretty much standard procedure. That individual or individuals are put on paid administrative leave or you know, for pending investigation. And then when they're clear, they go back to duty or whatever. And, you know, why not that? I mean, you know, that's something that is standard procedure all across the country and local law enforcement.
Texter writes, hey, Tara, pretty sure the FBI is doing the investigation. They both are, actually.
Yeah, actually, the FBI and Secret Service, that's what we're told.
Yeah,
they're both doing.
We're told. Yes, that gets a better way to put it. That's what we're told. Who knows what's true? Tara, pretty sure the FBI is doing the investigation. Did Jesse Waters ask them if the FBI had been in contact? No, and I wanted to at least.
Yeah, that's a good question.
At least they didn't air it if they did.
Yeah.
I was dying to know, has the FBI contacted the locals? I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I did. Yeah. We will find out. Meanwhile, Lee, the FBI has a warning about what's coming with this election.
Oh, great.
Sounds a lot like the warning we were given the August before the 2020 election. Do you remember me and you sitting here? It was one of the weirdest conversations we've ever had. And all the media all of a sudden was saying, don't worry, it'll be really hard to tell who won.
Yep.
But don't question it. It's going to be legit. And we're like, it's August. How do you know that?
Exactly.
August of 2020. And then we all saw what happened in November of 2020. Well, the FBI is out with a nifty new warning about the election, telling you not to believe your eyes, what you see before you. That is coming. What do you hear? What's coming, they say, in this election? Folks, this stinks to high heaven. Wait till you hear this. Coming up next. Check this one out. The FBI wants you to know. The FBI has put out a very ominous warning about what's coming. It's an election attack. Mm-hmm. It's coming this fall. And they're so concerned, they've put out a bulletin, a PSA, public service announcement. Just letting you know, just raise a little awareness. If you want to see this, it's on my Twitter feed. They say this PSA is to raise awareness about an attack, a digital attack that's coming. Oh, no. On election infrastructure? Yeah. And the FBI and CISA, which is a new, it's an administrative agency that was formed by Donald Trump to stop hacking, but they were bored with that, so they just censored us instead. Oh, that came out later. They often work hand in hand with the FBI to censor conservatives under the guise of misinformation. Anyway, it's just weird that those are the two agencies. The PSA they put out is to raise an awareness. See, what's going to happen is an attack, a digital attack on our election infrastructure. And they want you to know it could, quote, hinder access to election information, but would not impact one iota, you understand, the security or integrity of the election process. What? Oh, come again. I'm sorry. The FBI just put out a warning that an attack on election infrastructure is going to go down and you might not be able to get some information, but don't worry, said attack, which they don't say they're going to try to prevent. Said attack will not affect the integrity of the process. Okay. How does the FBI know an attack on election infrastructure is coming, but won't impact the election results in advance? How do they know that? Is that their plan? I mean, you got to ask these questions with that. To have an attack that shuts down key election infrastructure, and then when everything comes back online, we just have to accept the results? Even when they mysteriously support Kamala? Whew. Folks, this is going to get wild. It's going to get wild. Let me read it again. from their public service announcement from the agency CISA and the FBI. This public service announcement is to raise awareness that distributed denial of service attacks, DDoS, on election infrastructure or adjacent infrastructure that supports election operations could hinder public access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of the election process. God, you know, I had such a sense of deja vu reading that. You know, it came back to me as like I've lived this before. Oh, wait, I remember. Trump had just won North Carolina and Florida, and Brett Baer came on Fox News say there'd be an 80, given that those, you know, those results, there'd be an 80% chance Trump's going to win the presidency again. And I went, oh, thank God. And then it was weird. Swing state after swing state after swing state, the boards of elections started shutting down. Sometimes it was a handy dandy, super convenient leak. And other times it was just no explanation. And they tossed the Republican, but not the Democrat poll observers out and put cardboard up over the windows. Real weird, right? In the middle of the night. And it all went down. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was one swing state, then the next, then the next, then the next. And now when they came back up hours later, it was weird because when they closed, Trump was ahead, and then they came, they turned the lights off, they put up the cardboard, they threw out the Republican poll watchers all across those swing states, mostly out of big Democrat areas. And when they came back, Biden was ahead. It was so weird. And I'll never forget it because I was watching it all go down on Twitter, and there were foreigners watching it go down, tweeting, oh my gosh, they're stealing the election. It was obvious to people in India that that's what was happening. So middle of the night, key swing state shut down, Trump's ahead, we have no access to information, and then they come back online and oopsie doopsie, Biden is ahead. Huh. And remember what happened back, so I'll never forget this, as long as I live. Starting in August, is it August? It's August. Starts already the 5th of August. Starting in August is when it started. Remember what happened? The Washington Post, Twitter, which was then owned by Jack Dorsey, and Facebook started putting out these really strange, and I mean weird, messages going, hey, we might be a little confusing who's won the election, might not know, but we want you to know right now in August that if you question the results, we're going to censor you. In fact, we're so afraid you'll question the results. We're going to censor not just your post, but your WhatsApp, your Facebook app messages, your Facebook Messenger messages. In other words, don't even think that you can message your family members on the Facebook Messenger app and question the results of this election. And I remember sitting here going, and I remember talking to Lee about it, going, how do they know in August that's going to be confusing who won the election? How do they know in August we might have questions about who won the election? How are they saying in August they're going to have to censor us if we question the election? I mean, it's only August. We didn't even know what was going to happen. That was in 2020. This sounds just like that. So let me get this straight. The FBI knows there's going to be an attack on digital election infrastructure. That attack is going to keep us from seeing and knowing things. But when everything comes back online, We should know that it will not impact the integrity or security of the election process, even though it's an attack that will take them down. You know what's weird? This whole PSA is not a darn thing about, hey, we're the FBI, we'll try to stop the attack. No, just get used to it. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to be lights out. But when it comes back on, and Kamala won, just like Joe, no questioning. None whatsoever. Got it. Because I've lived this before. Thanks, the slogan of the 2024 Olympics should be, I can't win, it's a man. Where'd I get that? From this poor woman, who actually is a woman, had to fight one of the XY chromosome boxers. We used to call those men, because women don't have XY chromosomes, we have XX. But it didn't seem to really matter. Female boxer, Hungary's Luka Anna Harmori, caught on the sidelines during timeout, talking to her coach. She said, I can't win, it's a man. Just in total despair, her coach trying to give her a pep talk ultimately didn't work. she lost. Okay. Meanwhile, we have this other individual named Lin Yu Ting, who does not dispute that he is a man. He is boxing women. How do we know he does not dispute that he is a man? Well, the International Boxing Association, okay, that's different from the Olympic one. The International Boxing Association was so disturbed by the two of these people fighting women in the Olympics, they put out a statement, headline statement, made by the International Boxing Association regarding athletes' disqualification of World Boxing Championships 2023. In it, they point out that boxer Lin Yu Ting failed a gender test. This was a gender test performed by the IBA Women's World Boxing Championships in Istanbul in 2022, and a test, a second test performed during the International Boxing Association Women's World Boxing Championships in New Delhi in 2023. So he's failed twice. He's a dude. And everybody's saying, well, Imani Khalif was born, you know, maybe intertransex gendered with both sex. But this other individual was not, and he's boxing. Lin Yu Ting did not appeal the International Boxing Association's decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, thus rendering the decision legally binding. What is the decision? He is a dude, period. It was a what? It was a gender test. Let me do it again. He is a dude, period. Headline. Fresh Olympics gender boxing controversy erupts as defeated Bulgarian fighter makes female chromosome gesture in the ring after being beaten by biologically male Lin Yu Ting at the Paris Games. Here's what she did if you're watching me on Rumble. She took her fingers and made the X sign. The second controversial boxer who today won a medal has been plunged into a new controversy by his opponent. Lin Yu Ting of Taiwan beat Bulgaria's Svetlana Staneva, who is actually a woman, in the quarterfinal of the women's 57-gram category, kilogram category. But pictures show Staneva making two X's with her index finger, which appears to be a remark about her opponent's sex, meaning I'm a woman, dude is not. Yu Ting has been accused of being a man, but the International Boxing Association after failing gender eligibility tests. So they were so outraged that these two are boxing Olympics, the organization that governs boxing for the world, put out a statement saying, "Look, these two have failed their gender test. That dude failed twice and didn't even challenge the results; just accepted them. It's a dude." And yet, so folks, where are we right now? What is the left doing right now? Well, with Imani Khalifa, because there is allegedly, we don't know because we've never seen proof, but allegedly a birth condition where this person was born with the sexual aspects of both genders. Apparently, this condition means you have testes inside your body. They don't descend, but you go through male puberty, which explains you see her arms. I mean, she's cut like a man. Women can't get like that. Not without doping. But this other boxer, there's no excuse like that. Lin Yu Ting, he's just a dude. He doesn't dispute he's a dude. He didn't challenge the finding of not one, but two gender tests that he is in fact a dude. Olympics let him box anyway. And now he's headed for a medal. So what is going on here ultimately? They are using Imani Khalif and this other boxer to establish the idea that if a test shows you are a man, you have an XY, it's good. It's so we cannot question why you want to break a woman's nose in the ring. We just let you go in there and do it. Because science used to dictate if you had an XY, you're a man. We can tell that way you're a man, right? Now science dictates, well, they did have an XY, but they were allowed to box. So what does that mean? Every other boxer and their attorneys are going to say, look, you've let two XYs box. We want them to row. We want them to play soccer. We want them to do all these things at the Olympics. That's where they're going with this. And so it's a two-part strategy on the left. They're making Imani Khalif into a victim, even though the Spanish boxing coach who trained Khalif says, look, I wouldn't let her box the women anymore. She was hurting them. We had her box a man, and they were perfectly well matched when their weight categories were the same. And they're saying, well, this person was born with sexual characteristics of both sexes. It's not fair. They were raised as a girl, so got to let her box. But she's biologically male. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But she's been through male puberty. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But she has testosterone of a man. Doesn't matter. We don't care. Okay. Okay. Then what about Lin Yuting, who doesn't even dispute he's a man? Oh, look, there's a squirrel. There's a squirrel. So be prepared, folks, for the iconic image coming out of this Olympics. To be this man, these men on, you know, getting their medal, getting, you know, the award that should have gone to a woman. As we establish the idea, and again, folks, this is how unfair this is. If you're a man and you dope, in other words, you inject yourself with testosterone to give yourself an edge, you are a cheater, my friend. You are the worst of the worst, the low of the low. You should give back your medal in shame. However, if you are a woman, however, if you claim to be a woman, is a better way to put it, and you dope, or you have a level of testosterone too high for a woman, then we celebrate you and we give you the medal. But don't try that as a man. You got too much testosterone, you're going down, you're dope. But try it as a woman and we'll celebrate you. Good morning on this Monday, starting off your week. Coming up on the show, so many unfortunate accidents. We're supposed to believe that the Biden-Harris regime accidentally, oopsie-doopsie, funded the Taliban. Like, how much? $249 million. Wow, that's a lot of accidental funding. Like, could happen to anybody. Anyway, they accidentally funded the Taliban. Who's the Taliban? If you're kind of new here, and a lot of people are, just tuning into politics for the first time, the Taliban, those are the guys that we were fighting in Afghanistan all those years. The Taliban, like, that was the enemy in Afghanistan, but 20 years, actually. Yeah, and it was sad because back when they were our enemy, before we started making payments to them for no clear reason, 2,459 American military members were killed fighting the Taliban. And then sadly, 20,769 were injured. So when you see those Wounded Warrior commercials, I always get choked up. And the guy has no legs and he served in Afghanistan. They're building him a house for people with no legs. The reason he has no legs is because the Taliban is the enemy. Or they were. Weird. The U.S. government has, I kid you not, accidentally sent at least $239 million to the Taliban. The Taliban launched fake charities and we gave them the money. In some instances, we direct transferred it to the Taliban account. They actually have an account for the Taliban-run government. Why? I don't know. Why did we spend 20 years fighting them? I don't know. You know, we still owe between $7 and $8 trillion for that, right? That's the combined bill for the Iraq-Afghan war. And, you know, we printed and borrowed a lot of that, so we kind of owe it. Why are we printing more money to pay the enemy? Anyway, the Biden administration says it's an accident because they accidentally funded the Taliban because the State Department really didn't properly vet the award recipients. Darn. So what's next? Accidentally funding Russia? Oops. Accidentally funding the Chinese Communist Party? Darn. Shoot. Ooh, or I know. How about, let's see. Who else is our big enemy? The 9/11 terrorists. They're a big enemy. Accidentally letting him out of the death penalty. Oops. So many oopses. Look, I mean, Joe and Kamala have a lot to do. It's easy to accidentally fund your enemies and let them get away with killing 2,900 Americans like they just did the 9/11 terrorists. You know what's crazy? All last week, the media told us, fact checkers told us, you cannot blame Joe Biden, Kamala Harris for letting the 9/11 masterminds, all three of them, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, out of the death penalty. You cannot, because it is not their fault. And there is nothing they can do about. Wow, there was something they could do. Headline, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revokes accused 9/11 plotters' plea deals after backlash. Wait a minute. You mean Biden could have ordered him to do that the whole time? Yeah. So they lied when they said, no, this wasn't the Biden administration's fault. They were as shocked and appalled as anyone else that the 9/11 hijackers, we were told last week, were going to get away with it. That they were going to take the death penalty off the table in a plea deal in exchange for, well, nothing. We just love the hijackers. Yeah, they could have stopped it the whole time. More on this coming up next. And folks, what's really powerful is when CNN actually admits that. So then the next question becomes, if they could have stopped it, why were they backing a plea deal for the 9/11 hijackers? I'll explain. Thanks, the slogan of the 2024 Olympics should be, I can't win, it's a man. Where'd I get that? From this poor woman, who actually is a woman, had to fight one of the XY chromosome boxers. We used to call those men, because women don't have XY chromosomes, we have XX. But it didn't seem to really matter. Female boxer, Hungary's Luka Anna Harmori, caught on the sidelines during timeout, talking to her coach. She said, I can't win, it's a man. Just in total despair, her coach trying to give her a pep talk, ultimately didn't work. She lost. Okay. Meanwhile, we have this other individual named Lin Yu Ting, who does not dispute that he is a man. He is boxing women. How do we know he does not dispute that he is a man? Well, the International Boxing Association, okay, that's different from the Olympic one. The International Boxing Association was so disturbed by the two of these people fighting women in the Olympics, they put out a statement, headline, statement, made by the International Boxing Association regarding athletes' disqualification of World Boxing Championships 2023. In it, they point out that boxer Lin Yu Ting failed a gender test. This was a gender test performed by the IBA Women's World Boxing Championships in Istanbul in 2022, and a second test performed during the International Boxing Association Women's World Boxing Championships in New Delhi in 2023. So he's failed twice. He's a dude. And everybody's saying, well, Imani Khalif was born, you know, maybe intertransex gendered with both sex. But this other individual was not, and he's boxing. Lin Yu Ting did not appeal the International Boxing Association's decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, thus rendering the decision legally binding. What is the decision? He is a dude. Period. It was a what? It was a gender test. Let me do it again. He is a dude. Period. Headline. Fresh Olympics gender boxing controversy erupts as defeated Bulgarian fighter makes female chromosome gesture in the ring after being beaten by biologically male Lin Yu Ting at the Paris Games. Here's what she did if you're watching me on Rumble. She took her fingers and made the X sign. The second controversial boxer who today won a medal has been plunged into a new controversy by his opponent. Lin Yu Ting of Taiwan beat Bulgaria's Svetlana Staneva, who is actually a woman, in the quarterfinal of the women's 57-gram category, kilogram category. But pictures show Staneva making two X's with her index finger, which appears to be a remark about her opponent's sex, meaning I'm a woman, dude is not. Yu Ting has been accused of being a man, but the International Boxing by the International Boxing Association after failing gender eligibility tests. So they were so outraged that these two are boxing the Olympics. The organization that governs boxing for the world put out a statement saying, look, these two have failed their gender test. That dude failed twice and didn't even challenge the results, just accepted them. It's a dude. And yet, so folks, where are we right now? But what is the left doing right now? Well, with Imani Khalifa, because there is allegedly, we don't know because we've never seen proof, but allegedly a birth condition where this person was born with the sexual aspects of both genders. Apparently, this condition means you have testes inside your body. They don't descend, but you go through male puberty, which explains, you see her arms. I mean, she's cut like a man. Women can't get like that. Not without doping. But this other boxer, there's no excuse like that. Lin Yuting, he's just a dude. He doesn't dispute he's a dude. He didn't challenge the finding of not one, but two gendered tests that he is in fact a dude. Olympics let him box anyway. And now he's headed for a medal. So what is going on here ultimately? They are using Imani Khalif and this other boxer to establish the idea that if a test shows you are a man, you have an XY, it's good. It's so we cannot question why you want to break a woman's nose in the ring. We just let you go in there and do it. Because science used to dictate, if you had an XY, you're a man. We can tell that way you're a man, right? Now science dictates, well, they did have an XY, but they were allowed to box. So what does that mean? Every other boxer and their attorneys are going to say, look, you've let two XYs box. We want them to row. We want them to play soccer. We want them to do all these things at the Olympics. That's where they're going with this. And so it's a two-part strategy on the left. They're making Imani Khalif into a victim, even though the Spanish boxing coach who trained Khalif says, look, I wouldn't let her box the women anymore. She was hurting them. We had her box a man, and they were perfectly well matched when their weight categories were the same. And they're saying, well, this person was born with sexual characteristics of both sexes. It's not fair. They were raised as a girl, so got to let her box. But she's biologically male. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But she's been through male puberty. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But she has testosterone of a man. Doesn't matter. We don't care. Okay. Okay. Then what about Lin Yuting, who doesn't even dispute he's a man? Oh, look, there's a squirrel. There's a squirrel. So be prepared, folks, for the iconic image coming out of this Olympics. To be this man, these men on, you know, getting their medal, getting, you know, the award that should have gone to a woman. As we establish the idea, and again, folks, this is how unfair this is. If you're a man and you dope, in other words, you inject yourself with testosterone to give yourself an edge, you are a cheater, my friend. You are the worst of the worst, the low of the low. You should give back your medal in shame. However, if you are a woman, however, if you claim to be a woman, is a better way to put it, and you dope, or you have a level of testosterone too high for a woman, then we celebrate you and we give you the medal. But don't try that as a man. You got too much testosterone, you're going down, you're doping. But try it as a woman and we'll celebrate you. Good morning on this Monday, starting off your week. Coming up on the show, so many unfortunate accidents. We're supposed to believe that the Biden-Harris regime accidentally, oopsie-doopsie, funded the Taliban. Like how much money? $249 million. Wow, that's a lot of accidental funding. Like, could happen to anybody. Anyway, they accidentally funded the Taliban. Who's the Taliban? If you're kind of new here, and a lot of people are just tuning into politics for the first time, the Taliban, those are the guys that we were fighting in Afghanistan all those years. The Taliban, like, that was the enemy in Afghanistan, but 20 years, actually. Yeah, and it was sad because back when they were our enemy, before we started making payments to them for no clear reason, 2,459 American military members were killed fighting the Taliban, and then sadly, 20,769 were injured. So when you see those Wounded Warrior commercials, I always get choked up. And the guy has no legs, and he served in Afghanistan. They're building him a house for people with no legs. The reason he has no legs is because the Taliban is the enemy. Or they were. Weird. The U.S. government has, I kid you not, accidentally sent at least $239 million to the Taliban. The Taliban launched fake charities, and we gave them the money. In some instances, we direct transferred it to the Taliban account. They actually have an account for the Taliban-run government. Why? I don't know. Why did we spend 20 years fighting them? I don't know. You know, we still owe between $7 and $8 trillion for that, right? That's the combined bill for the Iraq-Afghan war. And, you know, we printed and borrowed a lot of that, so we kind of owe it. Why are we printing more money to pay the enemy? Anyway, the Biden administration says it's an accident because they accidentally funded the Taliban because the State Department really didn't properly vet the award recipients. Darn. So what's next? Accidentally funding Russia? Oops. Accidentally funding the Chinese Communist Party? Darn. Shoot. Oh, or I know. How about, let's see. Who else is our big enemy? The 9/11 terrorists. They're a big enemy. Accidentally letting him out of the death penalty. Oops. So many oopses. Look, Joe and Kamala have a lot to do. It's easy to accidentally fund your enemies and let them get away with killing 2,900 Americans like they just did the 9/11 terrorists. You know what's crazy? All last week, the media told us, fact checkers told us, you cannot blame Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for letting the 9/11 masterminds, all three of them, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, out of the death penalty. You cannot, because it is not their fault. And there is nothing they can do about. Wow, there was something they could do. Headline, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revokes accused 9/11 plotters plea deals after backlash. Wait a minute. You mean Biden could have ordered him to do that the whole time? Yeah. So they lied when they said, no, this wasn't the Biden administration's fault. They were as shocked and appalled as anyone else that the 9/11 hijackers, we were told last week, were going to get away with it. That they were going to take the death penalty off the table in a plea deal in exchange for, well, nothing. We just love the hijackers. Yeah, they could have stopped it the whole time. More on this coming up next. And folks, what's really powerful is when CNN actually admits that. So then the next question becomes, if they could have stopped it, why were they backing a plea deal for the 9/11 hijackers? I'll explain. Good morning on this Monday, starting off your week. Coming up on the show, so many unfortunate accidents. We're supposed to believe that the Biden-Harris regime accidentally, oopsie-doopsie, funded the Taliban. How much? $249 million. Wow, that's a lot of accidental funding. Like, it could happen to anybody. Anyway, they accidentally funded the Taliban. Who's the Taliban? If you're kind of new here, and a lot of people are just tuning into politics for the first time, the Taliban, those are the guys that we were fighting in Afghanistan all those years. The Taliban, like, that was the enemy in Afghanistan, but 20 years, actually. Yeah, and it was sad because back when they were our enemy, before we started making payments to them for no clear reason, 2,459 American military members were killed fighting the Taliban. And then sadly, 20,769 were injured. So when you see those Wounded Warrior commercials, I always get choked up. And the guy has no legs and he served in Afghanistan. They're building him a house for people with no legs. The reason he has no legs is because the Taliban is the enemy. Or they were. Weird. The U.S. government has, I kid you not, accidentally sent at least $239 million to the Taliban. The Taliban launched fake charities and we gave them the money. In some instances, we direct transferred it to the Taliban account. They actually have an account for the Taliban-run government. Why? I don't know. Why'd we spend 20 years fighting them? I don't know. You know, we still owe between $7 and $8 trillion for that, right? That's the combined bill for the Iraq-Afghan war. And, you know, we printed and borrowed a lot of that, so we kind of owe it. Why are we printing more money to pay the enemy? Anyway, the Biden administration says it's an accident because they accidentally funded the Taliban because the State Department really didn't properly vet the award recipients. Darn. So what's next? Accidentally funding Russia? Oops. Accidentally funding the Chinese Communist Party? Darn. Shoot. Ooh, or I know. How about, let's see. Who else is our big enemy? The 9/11 terrorists. They're a big enemy. Accidentally letting him out of the death penalty. Oops. So many oopses. Look, I mean, Joe and Kamala have a lot to do. It's easy to accidentally fund your enemies and let them get away with killing 2,900 Americans like they just did the 9/11 terrorists. You know what's crazy? All last week, the media told us, fact checkers told us, you cannot blame Joe Biden, Kamala Harris for letting the 9/11 masterminds, all three of them, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, out of the death penalty. You cannot, because it is not their fault. And there is nothing they can do about. Wow, there was something they could do. Headline: Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revokes accused 9/11 plotters' plea deals after backlash. Wait a minute. You mean Biden could have ordered him to do that the whole time? Yeah. So they lied when they said, no, this wasn't the Biden administration's fault. They were as shocked and appalled as anyone else that the 9/11 hijackers, we were told last week, were going to get away with it. That they were going to take the death penalty off the table in a plea deal in exchange for, well, nothing. We just love the hijackers. Yeah, they could have stopped it the whole time. More on this coming up next. And folks, what's really powerful is when CNN actually admits that. So then the next question becomes, if they could have stopped it, why were they backing a plea deal for the 9/11 hijackers? I'll explain.